This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Welcome back, Midday Show. It's Paradise, Clearwater, Florida.
Is that where we're going?
Well, we are going. Not yet. We got a few weeks here. In the cold, Devin Caney, she down there. We're going to talk to her coming up at 1 o'clock today. A check-in on the Phillies, our first Clearwater check-in. Here, are you ready for this? I woke up yesterday and I started seeing some of the videos of the guys down in Clearwater as they did their first full squad workout. I was like, man, this snuck up on us here. It's spring training time.
Am I ready? Nah, not really. I mean, but I ain't got no choice, so yeah. Get ready.
Dude, okay. It looks so sunny and warm down there.
I know, and it's so cold here. It is freezing.
That's
today.
What I'm ready for.
Yeah, no, it puts you in a good mood. And look, we got a lot with the Eagles talk about. Well, because in the conversation with Kellen Moore, is it a big deal he's leaving? And the free agents that could be going. I mean, this NFL offseason is going to sneak up on us. It's going to be here in a couple weeks. But it is fun to have the Phillies back, too. And Hugh, as they get down to spring training, I was wondering what the theme was going to be this year, right? Because the last 2 years, it was a combination of, like, when they lost the World Series at 22, entering 23, they signed Trey Turner, right? That was supposed to be the missing piece to get him over the top. And then last year, they didn't do anything other than, what was it, Whit Merrifield? But the idea was, we're this close, right? Now we're going to win the World Series.
The way you say it.
Well, Whit stunk.
This close, Joe.
That's the way
I'd use my hand.
That's the way they acted. They acted. Yeah. They were, and in theory, they were. And they won more games last year than the last 2 years. But this offseason didn't really have big oomph, right? They did trade for Jesus Luzardo, and that could be a really good pitcher for them. But it was a different kind of offseason where they didn't do much. So now, what's the lever they're going to pull, Hugh? How are they going to change what they've done so far? The story and the conversation, and we'll talk to Devin about it coming up at 1, is that they're going to change the lineup. It's been out there for about a week now that the lineup's going to be different. The lineup's going to change. Hugh, your first thought on this, and when I say that, forget the bottom. When they are talking about it, they mean the top of the lineup's going to change, which means Kyle Schwarber.
It's not going to be leadoff.
Not going to be leadoff. And it seems like the idea is Trey Turner is going to be the leadoff hitter. So from, we'll have people, some people
well, a lot of people are going to get finally what they want, if that's the case.
Speed at the top?
Yes.
Schwarber
and
not
then
in
knocking
leadoff.
Knocking them back in.
Your first thought?
It's something. Like, riding in this morning, listening to the morning show, shout out to the morning show, but they're a bunch of sensitive individuals.
Well, we knew that already.
Like, they're in touch with their feminine side. Ain't nothing wrong with that, though. As I thought about it, Joe, my biggest thought was, well, you got to do something. Because this fan base was upset about the way that the season ended. And the biggest thing, when you look at it, they do have strong starting pitching. They really, really do.
Very strong, yep.
They do have good batters. They got good. They got a good lineup. But for whatever reason, the biggest issue is that they went cold during the worst time.
Really, 3 years in a row.
During the absolute worst time. So they believe in the guys that they have. They're just shaking it up a little bit. Maybe not having Schwarber lead off and putting some more speed on the pads. That might help a little bit. Just try to knock some of those runs in. Because he's money. Like, leading off, he is money.
And they've won a lot of games with him like that.
Yes, they've won a lot of games, but you're looking – right now, you're just looking for what is the reason why we go cold. We have a power outage at the absolute worst times that you could have one.
So I have two early thoughts on this. Hugh, my first thought is I don't like it. I think they're better when Schwarber leads off, and I don't trust Trey to get on base enough to be the leadoff hitter. That's just my first thought. But I did try to like long think this a little bit here, like to kind of figure out what the heck they're thinking. And I do think there is something to eventually, because, you know, we've noticed in the postseason for a while now, teams don't pitch to Bryce Harper, mm-mm, right? So if you put Schwarber behind Harper, that might help in the biggest games. Like teams will have to pitch to Harper because Schwarber's behind him. So I've seen a couple different ideas. One is Turner 1, Harper 2, Bohm 3, Schwarber 4, or just swap Bohm and Schwarber, and it would go Turner, Harper, Schwarber 1, 2, 3.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the postseason, there's something to where this might be better because it gives Bryce Harper some protection. My main issue, though, is if Trey is cold, and we know he goes cold for weeks at a time, then Bryce Harper's not going to have anyone on base when he gets up. It's going to be the bottom of the order, whoever that is, Kepler and Marsh and whatever, and Rojas and Rososa, whatever. And then Turner, and it's like, your best player comes up with nobody on base. Kyle, your first thought? Like, the first thought you had when you kind of saw they're floating this, and they are floating it, that they're going to change the lineup.
Yeah, so I'm, like, thinking back to how I felt at the end of last season when we lost that series to the Mets, and, like, how pissed off I was, thinking this team needs some kind of a shakeup, whether that's going to come from the roster. I was even willing to fire Topper, who I love. I'm a big Topper guy. But I was like, I was just trying to think of any lever that we could pull to change something going into this season. Because it didn't really look like we were going to be big spenders. I know the Soto thing was out there, but we never really that never really gained any traction.
Right.
We weren't going to make a huge move and shake up the roster in a big way. So I was just thinking, what can we do? And if this is something they want to try and give it a go, like, look, I mean, it's a long season. So if they start off this way and it works, like, that's great. And if it doesn't work, you know, they have plenty of time to make changes throughout the season. The biggest thing for me is not getting Schwarber out of the leadoff spot. It's how can we get Trey Turner going consistently? Like, Trey to me is the biggest problem with the top of this lineup. Because we know Kyle Schwarber, he's a little bit streaky too, but you know what you're getting with Kyle Schwarber. Trey, I feel like we haven't fully gotten what we were meant to get with Trey Turner yet since we signed him. So if this is the lever that they need to pull to try and get that out of him, then I'm more than willing to give it a go.
All right, let's hear from some of the guys down there as they're being asked about this. Schwarber talking about he'll hit anywhere you want him to in the lineup.
It's just going to come down to us to, you know, really go down and figure out a way to try to get to where we want to be. Whatever, you know, my name gets read, that's where I'm going to hit. You know, I'm player number 12. I'm not a manager. I'm not a coach. I get paid to play baseball for these guys. So like, wherever my name gets read, I'm going to play. And I want to win. You know, I just want to win a World Series. And wherever we think our best lineup is to go do that and continually win baseball games, that's what we have to do.
All right, well, I like that. And, you know, we've heard before Schwarber likes the leadoff spot, so the fact that he seems pretty open to it, that's good. How about Bryce Harper? Because he seems like he's always liked to bat three, and this new configuration that's getting floated down there sounds like he'd move up to two. Here's Bryce Harper in the lineup.
Obviously, I'm a three-hole hitter, and I have been, but whenever they tell me to hit two or four, I've done that in the past, as you guys know, so I want to win. So I don't care what that takes. You want to start out hot, and you're going to go the ebbs and flows of the season, obviously. But as a team, we just need to understand to just play the game all year long, play it right, play hard, take the ebbs and flows, and get hot at the right time, obviously, by the end of the year. And, I mean, obviously, I want to win the division. That's the first thing, and then get into the postseason and stuff like that. But it doesn't matter if you're the best team in baseball or not. You just got to go in there and play the game and do it the right way all the way through.
All right, there it is. Schwarber, Harper, 215-592-9494. First thought on this, first take on it. Do you like the idea of the Phillies changing the top of the lineup? My first thought is I don't, because I think their strength has been Schwarber 1, Harper 3, but it sounds like they're going to do it. Where do you come down? And, of course, Kellen Moore, is it a big deal that he is headed to the New Orleans Saints and the Eagles will have a new coordinator? Big V in Mount Laurel's up. Hey, Big V.
He wasn't ready for the moment.
Big V.
I mean, come on.
Big for him.
Well, Big V likes to work when he calls our show. He's a multitasker.
Yeah, he ain't paying attention.
We ever figure out what Big V does for a living? Business guy?
Sales.
You could tell there's some sort of sales going on. We'll get back to Big V here. Let's go to Ken in Cinnamon. And hey, Ken.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Hey, Ken.
More accurately. Big V's usually ready. I'm a little bit surprised, Big V. You don't have to worry about me. I'm retired, so this is what I do. I do have a Phillies take before I get to the Eagles. My Phillies take is pretty simple. I'm a season ticket holder. I have been for 20 years since this Bank Park opened. And this year, I'm not excited. And the problem with this team, the way it's constituted, is the same regardless of where Kyle Schwarber hits or Trey Turner hits. They don't put the ball in play enough. And until they address that, it's going to end the way it always ends because they just don't prioritize putting the ball in play. So I don't know if they can do something about that, but we'll see.
Well, Ken, before you make your Eagles point, I was reading a Q&A with Kevin Long, and it feels like they're going to try to change it, but it's always one of those, like, can you teach an old dog new tricks? A lot of these guys they're pretty deep into their career to change who they are. We'll see.
Well, that's kind of my issue. Chuck from Cherry Hill is the data meister on this stuff. He's the guy to talk to. He can really fill you in. But, Joe, I'm not surprised that you really find Kellen Moore's departure as a big deal. Every 10 times a year, you say something that just makes me, like, my jaw drop.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like that drop that Kyle plays all the time. So this one is maybe they should get a coordinator that nobody's going to want to hire if they win the Super Bowl next year. So, I mean, they didn't hire Vic Fangio because they didn't have to worry about anybody poaching him. They hired Vic Fangio because they wanted to hire Vic Fangio after they went to the Super Bowl in 2022, but he was employed by the time the Super Bowl was over, and they were late to the park. They would have hired him then if they could have.
Of course. I just think it's an added benefit if it's someone that you think could be here for a little while.
Well, if your coordinators are constantly getting poached to go be head coaches somewhere else, that's a problem that about 30 other NFL franchises would love to have from one year to the next. I want the coordinator that's going to best position this team to win the Super Bowl next year. I'm not worried about positioning this team to win the Super Bowl in 2027. I'm worried about winning the Super Bowl next year. And if that gets Kevin Petullo coached as a head coach the year after the next year because they win the Super Bowl again next year, then I'll cross that bridge when I come to it. I want rings. I want Lombardi trophies. I'm not worried about the tenure of my coordinator.
I know. I'd rather have that too. I mean, like, on the scale of would you rather have continuity or excellence, I'm with you. I would rather choose the excellence. I'm just trying to thread that needle. And I mean, because Frank Reich's name keeps coming up, and I don't think of him as excellent. I think of that would be in the bucket more of continuity.
Exactly. I mean, if we're going to do that, hey, you know, Josh McDaniels won 6 Super Bowls as an offensive coordinator. Nobody wants him as a head coach.
Right.
Let's go get Josh. I don't want him as an offensive coordinator either. I mean, look, it's Kellen Moore's kind of stock around here increased in the span of 2 weeks like nobody I've ever seen because we spent most of the year kind of scratching our heads wondering what we expected more out of Kellen Moore than what this offense looks like. And to Hugh's point earlier, this is the same guy who called the pass play from his own end zone in the snow that resulted in a safety with a quarterback who couldn't really move.
That's totally fair. No, Ken, you're right. It is. But now, that's true. And Ken, good phone call. I mean, can I make the same point about our appreciation for Jalen Hurts now?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jalen, yesterday, I was listening a little bit. I was in the car. Broz was in for the afternoon show yesterday. He did a Jalen Hurts appreciation show. It was an awesome idea. That happened. Why? Because the last 2 weeks, right? He's the same Jalen Hurts he's been the whole time. That happens sometimes. Like the end of your tenure or the end of a season changes the opinion strongly.
The growth.
Yeah.
The growth of the quarterback. And, I mean, there is some truth to that. I look at it like this, man. Between the two, I feel like Kellen Moore was in more of need of Jalen than Jalen was of Kellen. And I know that some people are like, what are you talking about, Hugh? I think there's a growth factor that went along with Jalen. Because you're talking about Jalen's 26 years old, and he's a young quarterback. And we talked about how early on in Brady's career where he wasn't the guy that he ended up being. I feel like Jalen has turned that corner, because I look at it like this. He goes to the Super Bowl. He gets the starting job. He goes to the Super Bowl. He gets beat. He has another year where, you know, it starts off great, but then there's a lot of adversity.
Totally.
Jalen starts off the year with somewhat adversity. You know, he has throws a couple picks and everything. And I think as the year progressed, I think as Saquon kind of, you know, got his tentacles into this team and things started to evolve and change, that the quarterback evolved and changed. It's not lost on me that Jalen, during the course of the win, gave Saquon his props. The offensive line gave Saquon his props weeks ago, months ago. I think there's something to that, man. I think there's something to the growth of the quarterback. So I look at it like this. As long as you get a visionary in here that's going to work with Jalen and allow Jalen to grow into his leadership role, I think he'll be fine.
So I may be simplifying it. I'm hearing you, Hugh, a lot of callers, Kyle. It seems to me like you guys think it's almost like a conveyor belt that's moving now. Like they figured it out with Jalen, the run game, the combination.
Next man up mentality.
And you
plug and play.
Right. You don't need as much of someone to come in here and tweak it. And I would think that's wonderful if you guys are right, because then they could still be fine, right? The offense won't change too much. If it changes, it's only for the better, and they'll keep scoring a lot of points. I just think some people brought up today, including Ken, our last caller, that because they keep winning, they keep losing coordinators, right? That's part of the thing, and that's a good thing. Absolutely. We're leaving out 2023. They didn't lose their coordinator to lead to Kellen Moore because they won 2 years ago. They lost him because they fired Brian Johnson, right? Like, that's... When you go through this, Hugh, there's going to be years where it works, right? The Steichen thing worked. Mm-hmm. The Moore thing worked. And you're going to go through, like you throw a dart at the dartboard and it misses. And they didn't feel like the Brian Johnson thing worked the way they wanted.
And I think a lot of that has to do with personal growth, Joe. And that's why I said it the way that I said it. Jalen had some growing up he had to do, you know.
Sure.
As far as, you know, probably the way that he felt about Brian Johnson, being that he's a family member and all this other good stuff. Hell, Coach Sirianni had a whole lot of growing up to do. He grew up right before our eyes. So everybody, this is one of those situations where if you're in a relationship and, you know, you and your significant other, you're not getting along and, you know, you're trying to find common ground, and it took you a little bit longer than you anticipated, but you finally found it. I think that's where we are with this.
Well, if that's the case, it won't be a big deal. Where do you come down? 215-592-9494. All right, let's go to OG Wade, who's up here. And OG's spoken a lot over the years about all the coordinators Jalen has had. That Super Bowl champion, Jalen Hurts. What's up, OG?
What's up, fellas? How we doing today?
We're good, OG. What are you thinking?
I think that looking at everything, I want to speak on the Nick Saban thing. I don't know why he'd be fronting, coming on TV, talking about what he was trying to teach Jalen to throw the ball. Dude, he didn't even have a damn quarterback coach his entire career with you. So how much was you really trying to teach Jalen how to throw the ball? So that's all front stuff. I would never want that guy in the building of any business that I'm running.
Pretty successful, that Nick Saban.
Yeah, right. Saban has no idea what he's talking about.
He was successful at illegally paying players to play for him. But when they took that away and made it legal, now he don't have no whip to scare these players with. So then he became what? An average coach. That's why he's retired.
Well, I don't know if he ever became an average coach. It did. When?
It's great spin work.
I mean, they were in the college football playoff his last year. I mean, he played in the Rose Bowl.
And they remember, they weren't supposed to be there.
I know.
Okay, but let me go here.
Go ahead.
Let me go here with this Kellen Moore thing. Here's what people aren't understanding is that you run about 60 plays a game, offensive plays a game. We already know 30 of them are going to be runs. You know who's calling those? Jeff Stoutland. He's the run game coordinator. Okay, so that leaves 30 plays left for Jalen, Nick Sirianni, because we've seen Nick Sirianni go over to Kellen Moore and tell him what plays to call, and then Kellen Moore. So basically, Jalen is calling the play or changing the play that Kellen called according to what he sees schematically on the defensive side. So I think what the Eagles' offense is built around is collaboration. Mm. It's really not Kellen Moore – do doing all the designs and everything. And when you look at our plays,
oh gee, we're letting you go. Your phone is all the phone
was
on
the wall.
It's terrible.
Yeah. I mean, I get what you're saying.
He's got to get a new phone. I mean, this has been a consistent problem for.
Do we think his fell in the sewer? Well, you got your phone back, Hugh, right?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I did get my phone back. But shout out to the young lady that was very, very persistent. She got my phone back from the Uber driver, and she gave it to me.
So your phone
Friday
was in
night.
New Orleans, and this person?
She was in New Orleans.
And she got it here to Philadelphia.
She got it here to Philadelphia. She, luckily for me, she lived in northern Jersey. And she brought me my phone the day before the parade.
It's the power of WIP.
Yes, yes. She's an avid listener. She told me, make sure if I ever tell this story, don't say her name. Mm-hmm. But I do appreciate that. I really do. I mean, it was like she didn't have to do that.
Hugh was distraught when he lost his phone.
Yeah,
in
I was. I was. And she found the Uber driver. She found him. And he called me and was like, well, I was trying to open your phone, but it was locked. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, it did what it was supposed to do, you know. So, yeah, I got my phone back. So, thank you so much for that.
Well, that's pretty awesome. Is Big V ready to go here? Big V and Mount Laurel's up talking Kellen Moore going to the Saints. What's up, Big V?
Whoa, what's going on, Gilio? Hugh!
What's going on,
Big
man?
V?
Yo, man, listen, I was really riding the high of the Super Bowl win mm-hmm. and the parade and everything, and then you come up with this subject. Okay. So let's get down. Let's
now,
get
before
down
you here. Go on, now for the record, I let this go last week because we were celebrating all week. I mean, he became the Saints coach last week. We didn't really spend much time on it, but Big V, we got to address the issues. Is it a big deal?
Joe, I'm a believer that you were the kid that went around telling everybody, all those younger kids, that there were no Santa Claus.
Did you do that, Joe?
Never, Big V. Stop that. Stop that, Big V.
I think you did. Hey, Hugh, man, listen, I know an agent for you if you want to, you know, see if you can get some good roles. I'll send him your way.
He needs help. Yeah, he needs money.
I got it. See, Joe trying to clap. I got options. I got options. Thanks, Big V. I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you.
Yeah, look, a man with your immense skill set, you know, you would do very well on the big screen.
See? See, Joe?
He and many D-list actors would. Go ahead, Big V, go ahead.
Joe, you're proof that haters just hate. But anyway, on the head coach thing, I think it may be good for Eagles, you know, that he's moving on and that they get another head coach.
Here we go.
Because you look at a great deal of our plays, they were basic. The only thing that got us through was that we had talent that really, you know, let's say, really, you know, showed off on some basic plays. I mean, look, at the Super Bowl, there was no way when you have a running back like Saquon Barkley that he should get shut down. That should have all came into play. They should have did more things, you know, to get him in the open.
They scored 95 points in the title game in Super Bowl.
It's a lot of points.
Running?
Well, actually, I think they did it because they threw it so well in the last two games of the season. 95 uh-huh. points, Big V.
Uh-huh. 95 points is great. But listen, if we didn't have players with the skill set of AJ and Skinny Batman, we wouldn't have gotten that much. And, of course, Jalen, you know, getting people open a lot by using his legs as well. We wouldn't have had that much because those plays are basic. The thing that got him through was that the talent pulled it off.
Okay, I mean, then we should expect, then you could be the coordinator next year. I mean, like, it could be you, it could be Hugh, it could be Nick Saban, anyone.
Nick Saban doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, we learned that. That Saban's kind of fraud.
Is that right?
That's what we learned in this segment. All right, Big V, we appreciate it. So it's a good thing. We've spun this thing so far in the beginning of the show. That's now a good thing. All right, 215-592-9494. Big deal, not a big deal. We need to come down that Kellen Moore is gone. The Eagles need another coordinator here. And do you like the idea of the Phillies change their lineup? It sounds like they are greasing the skids for Schwarber out of the leadoff spot, Turner to be the leadoff hitter, maybe Bryce up to two. Do you like it? Plus, we got some great audio here of some Eagles players speaking to the rest of the team the night before the Super Bowl. We'll play the best of that. This is great stuff. 215-592-9494. It's the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gill, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. As we discuss Kellen Moore, is it a big deal that the Eagles will need another offensive coordinator and that he is officially gone as the head coach of the New Orleans? He's gone, and he's probably taking some Eagles coaches with him. There was some stories that he was going to interview Christian Parker, their defensive backs coach, to be their defensive coordinator down there. Also an interview coming up for Doug Nussmeier to be the offensive coordinator. He's the quarterback's coach here. So there's more that are probably coming down the pike here for the Eagles to lose along with Kellen Moore. I think it's a big deal. A lot of people do not. Where do you come down? And the Phillies, your first thought, first take on a new lineup. It sounds like the Phillies, we'll talk to David Caney, who's down there in Clearwater at 1, it's almost like they're slow rolling this out. It's like a soft launch. They're trying to get us used to the idea. They're going to change this lineup. I think it's going to be Turner, Harper, and then either Bohm, Schwarber, or Schwarber, Bohm when this season starts. Do you like the idea? Hugh and Kyle are up to the idea of doing something. I don't like it. I'd rather keep Schwarber in the leadoff spot. Where do you come down? 215-592-949. Let's go to the phones, and then we got to play for you some of the best. The Eagles released some of the best speeches of the night before the Super Bowl. The players talking among themselves and getting up and giving some speeches before they went and played that game. Let's grab Kenny in the Dirty 30. Kenny!
No longer call me Kenny. I want you to call me a man of leisure.
A man of leisure.
That's not a problem.
I would do that.
Yeah. Well, because we're all men of leisure, because we have a defense, and apparently that's a luxury. So we are men of leisure.
Apparently, yeah. I mean, some people think that, at least.
It is a luxury.
Did you watch? The Super Bowl would tell us it's not. It's a total necessity.
It is a luxury.
And if it's a luxury, then we're luxurious, and I'm loving luxurious. Every minute of it, and it's just great. So I'm just been so happy. We every day since the Super Bowl, I wear Eagle stuff everywhere. Everybody's still saying go Birds. And no matter what Joe tries to drum up with offensive coordinators in the Phillies lineup, I am not listening because I'm just happy. I'm so happy. There's nothing you can do to change that. And that's just a great feeling, everybody. I hope you're still feeling it because just go Birds.
Well, you know, hey, Kenny, we appreciate it. And you can still be happy. I'm not trying to get anyone to not be happy. Be happy for as long as you want. The Eagles won the Super Bowl. I mean, the celebration doesn't stop, but also the reality of the team doesn't stop, right? Like, when I watch that parade and listen to the speeches on Friday, Hugh, I sense the team that feels they've arrived as a franchise. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, we heard Jeff Lurie say, let's win a third, right? So to win a third, you gotta get your ducks in a row here.
Yeah, it's like crack. For lack of a better way of saying it, when she starts smoking, you want to keep that high going, and that's what kind of winning kind of is. I know it was a bad analogy.
It's like a great high.
It was poignant for the moment.
I'm
that
not
we
sure.
Read. Just work with me. Just work with me.
This is poignant your word of the week?
Yeah, poignant. I get it. I'm going to work with that one, yeah.
Word of the week, last week ambiguity, and this week we are at poignant. So.
But in fact, it wasn't ambiguity. It was we still don't know what exactly it was.
Ambiguity. That's what I was looking
ambiguity,
for.
Ambiguity, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what we were trying to get to.
Yeah, that's not what we got.
No, I butchered that.
How far into the word did you realize you were going off the tracks?
Oh, no, when I leaned into it, I lean all the way in. Do you think that I care about what people think about the words that come out of my mouth? I do it every day.
No, I know that. But sometimes you could save it. Like, we stumble over a word.
Nah. I just had to let it fly. When it came out, I was like,
No, Hugh doesn't save it. He drowns in it.
No, dude. It's just like, in spite looking at me, he was looking like, what the hell? But he knew what I meant, or he knew what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, not everyone speaks to
you do a good job of it. Get it out. Who named what I was trying to say this morning? Ross Tucker. And I couldn't remember his name.
He's the Princeton guy.
That was just disrespectful. I mean, we have him on the show every week.
No. And Ross, if you're listening, I apologize, but sometimes these thoughts in my head, they run at a mile a minute. 100 miles an hour, and I just forgot, just that quick.
Yeah, that wasn't even on the air, though. It was just a regular conversation.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, it was bad.
All right, let's grab Joe in Mayfair. What's up, Joe?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Always a pleasure listening to the show. It's really
Joe.
Good. And, you know, 10 days of being on a major high and still going to be on the high, like Kenny said, but before I get to the Eagles, I'll go to the Phillies lineup. I don't agree with any of the lineup they've done. I want guys at the top of the lineup to hit the ball to both sides of the field. Both look at pitches. Both are contact hitters. And I would go Stott, Bohm, 1-2. And then Harper, 3. Nick, 4. Schwarber, 5. Turner, 6. You got to take pressure off Turner. He's not the top of the guy. You can't count him all the time. But Stott and Bohm take a lot of pitches and are contact hitters and hit the ball to both sides. And then they get on base, and then you let your big guys go out there and hunt.
So, Joe, I wouldn't mind what you're saying, and I'm with you on Turner. Like, I'd rather him lower than higher, but they're going to do the opposite.
Because of money.
Yeah, well, and they're hoping, right? They're just still hoping they could save what they thought he would be. The only thing I would say about the Stott thing, and I saw some stuff yesterday that he was dealing with an elbow issue last year. He really was pretty poor the final 4 months. I still like him, Joe. I still believe in him. I think he's got a good approach to the plate, like you said. If he's what he was 2 years ago, then I think it could work. But if he's the way he was last year, you know, he didn't hit much the last 4 months of the season.
No, he was hurt. So, yep. I mean, if he's healthy.
Yep.
And the problem with the Phillies real quick is it's what the Eagles did in 2023 is they pressed. They tried too hard, put tons of pressure on themselves, and they fell apart. The Eagles last year, and this is when we'll talk with the Eagles now, the Eagles and Jalen Hurts put it all on him, and he was, you know, it hurt his soul. He put all the pressure on himself. Nick put all the pressure on himself. And then when you want to do everything on your own, your ego goes 100 miles an hour tops because no one can get through you. It's I'm the problem. I'm fixing it. That bye week, everybody put their ego in check. Everybody. Nick, Jalen, the team, they all got on the same page. And that's why they become as dominant as they did is because they all decided that, hey, we're going to take our role. It doesn't matter. We're all one. So I don't care if Kellen Moore left. Like, OG Wade was great on his call. Half the time Jalen, one-third to half the time Jalen checks or changes the play. you know, Stott calls the runs. Nick puts his input in. If you're going to elevate somebody, that means that they believe Jalen's taken a step to where he can have input. If they don't believe Jalen's ready yet to have more input, then you can't hire with him. You've got to go out and get a Frank Reich or even a Dougie P or somebody who actually won't have an ego at the door, who will fit right in so it doesn't cause a big commotion or a big kaboom, like, I'm here to prove who I am. I don't care. It's my show. You can't have that coming in. So I agree. When listening to Hugh, Jalen did grow up. Because he stopped blaming himself a little bit each week, putting all that pressure of, like, not listening. And then when Saquon did Saquon week after week after week, that player took pressure off the rest of the team who felt the pressure the last 2 years of failure. Saquon wasn't here for the failure. He came here and he got out of failure. So that's where I look at it, is Saquon was the missing piece because he took all the pressure off of everybody on that team who wet the bed in 2023 and failed in the big game to bring home the chip. And that's why it all worked. No ego.
Well, and that's a huge part of it. And if he's that now and it carried over, then they're going to be fine. Joe, we appreciate the phone. Then they'll be fine. I mean, then it won't be as big of a deal as it was a couple years ago. But obviously it was. I mean, that's why they've been on this different thing. Every year is a different coordinator. All right, before we go back to the phones, let's hear from some of these guys. Jalen keeps coming up today. Of course he will. He's a Super Bowl MVP. Let's hear Jalen Hurts here with the team the night before the Super Bowl.
Last time being here, this changed my life. It changed my life and it changed my mentality and it changed everything. Because for so long, you know, I was seeking. What would I do when I got this moment again? What would I do when this opportunity met me again? On the biggest stage, everybody watched. And I didn't get benched. I put on a good show. And I couldn't have done that without you guys. But I left that so empty. Mm. Done, it doesn't matter but winning. And when you talk about team sports and you talk about everything that we've gone through, that's been a mission this whole time. So, you know, for all the hard work and all everything that we've been able to do to this point, just take it one play at a time, let it come to you, and ask yourself how you want to be remembered.
And that was deep.
It was. I mean, and it speaks to what they channeled for a couple years, specifically the quarterback. That loss 2 years ago was on them for 2 years.
Not only that, he channeled college when he said, I didn't get benched. Like, that's powerful.
It's been sitting in him for years.
Oh, my gosh. And for him to have that moment, and not only that, like, this is my petty radar when I hear stuff like that.
Uh-oh.
That petty radar go up. But he was basically in your face to a Tagovailoa. You know, I got benched for you. You got drafted high for me. And I've accomplished something that you haven't accomplished. That's that petty. That's petty right there. That's new level petty.
In your face,
I
who?
Respect that. Tua Tagovailoa. Tua Tagovailoa.
You just wanted me.
I caught that.
Look at that improvement.
But yeah, I'm just saying. He told Tua, kiss my ass. Nick Saban, kiss my ass. See, that's what he did.
I didn't even pick up on the Tua thing. Or the,
you didn't? He said, well, I didn't get benched for it.
I thought about that, but I wasn't connecting the Tua dots.
Man, as a quarterbacks, they can't be. But they're probably worse than receivers as far as divvying them is concerned.
Well, you know why? There's only one that gets to play.
That's it.
Just one.
It's only one. And for him to sit there and go through all that ridicule and probably feel like, you know, he was the better quarterback and he got benched because he had a bad game, he just gave everybody everybody the middle finger.
Imagine the night that happened, right? I was watching it live when they benched Jalen for Tua in that game, Hugh. That if I had said that night, Jalen would unequivocally be a better NFL quarterback. Most people would have said, you're nuts. I mean, one guy's a better thrower, Saban benched him. You know, there's always those quarterback debates that happen every year. That's never one. Anyone with half a brain knows that Jalen is better than Tua. I mean, that's just like, that's obvious.
Well, you got it, Kyle.
It's interesting, some of the parallels, too, between even Hurts in the NFL and the season he just had and what Tua's had at his disposal in the NFL, too. I mean, Waddle and Tyreek Hill.
Yep.
We have A.J. and Devontae. He had Vic Fangio as his defensive coordinator.
And they didn't like him.
He's had McDaniel, who I think most would say is a better play caller than what the Eagles have had.
Sure. And, I mean, think about the run game that he's had to boot. Like, they had A-Chain and Mostert last year, who both were, like, ridiculous running the football. Not this past season, but the year before. And what, they go 11-6 and get bounced the first run of the postseason?
And he's not bad, Tua, but he's just fine. He's just
he's not Jalen.
He's not as good as Jalen.
Yeah, Hurts is definitively better than him at this point.
And part of that is, you know, obviously he's had a lot of injuries in his career. But, like, outside all of that, man, Jalen has proven everybody wrong.
Oh, there's no question. All right, let's get to let's play Saquon here. Saquon, night before the Super Bowl, his speech to the team.
I want to start by saying thank you to everyone in this room. And I just want to thank you guys
for
welcoming me in and showing so much love and so much support. I think you hear the common theme up here, right? And I think every single one of us bring up team. And as I watch film throughout the whole week, my confidence is even grow even more, and I hope you guys are feeling the same thing. These guys can't f*** with us. They really can't. I don't care how many times they've been here. I don't care how many times they won it. They haven't seen a team like this.
Why he get the dramatic music, though?
Because he's the story of the season.
I'm just saying. Why can't Jalen get the dramatic music? Why can't he get the heart strings, tugging at the heart strings music? No, that was deep, though. And in those meetings, usually when stuff like that happens, man, it's hard to sleep after. It is hard to sleep
up.
Because you're ready to go. You're ready to play the game right now. And to hear some of that, like, the testimonial that Jalen gave, that to me was the most powerful. It's because that's believing in yourself, in essence. All the obstacles that you faced in life to be in that, to win the game the way that he won it, yeah, that was powerful. That was real powerful.
So watching this, we're going to play a couple more here, but seeing this and then seeing the mic'd up on NFL Network, the one word I would use to describe what they were, or two words I'd say, supremely confident. Like, you just felt it watching the mic'd up. You hear it in these speeches. They were ready. They thought. There's that fine line between delusion and confidence, and they were totally confident they were better.
Like, you couldn't tell them that they weren't the best team out there on Sunday.
You got that vibe in the mic'd up, too, when you heard them talking to each other before the game. The Eagles are preaching, like, dominate this. Like, dominate that team.
Don't
go kick the rest.
Dominate.
The Chiefs are like, just find a way to win. That's what we've been doing all year. Like, they were, like, hoping that they could miraculously pull out a win. Eagles were like, go in there and show you're the better team.
It's almost like sometimes we do shows and we have topics here before a big game. Do you expect to win? Or do you hope to win? I think the way Kyle framed it, listening to the mic'd up and some of these, the Chiefs hoped to win, thought they might, could, whatever. The Eagles expected to win, and you heard it throughout. All right, so we heard from Jalen Hurts, his speech to the team before Super Bowl 59. We heard from Saquon Barkley. Let's hear from Lane Johnson, because Lane kind of summed up how long they've been waiting to get back at this Chiefs team.
Yeah, you know, we were here a couple years ago. It's like we were a little bit over-emotional, I think. The thing we need to focus on offensively is they're a finesse team. They're going to try to junk up and f*** up our points, because man for man, they're not going to let us just tee off on them, because they will get f***ed up, and they're going to get f***ed up tomorrow. So just remember the f***ing shirts they had on their parade a few years ago. Keep that in mind as y'all keep f***ing annihilating his ass tomorrow.
Boom.
Need that right there.
Boom.
Boy.
So right, he's referencing, what did the Chiefs wear two years ago?
They didn't give up any sacks.
Zero sacks, put it on a t-shirt was the thing.
Yeah, and Lane made sure those defensive linemen
that
remember that.
That was annoying, too.
Yeah, well, I think that's why if you watch the mic'd up, you see Sirianni, counting the sacks as they happen.
Like, did you like that, by the way?
That was pretty cool. Actually, I did like it. Because I was doing the same thing in my living room. Like, I'm counting, like, they've gotten him, how many times? Like, four or five now?
Yeah, he had a long day, bro.
Because he never gets sacked that many times. So, I did like that one. As a Sirianni guy, I did appreciate it. All right, cool. Let's end with CJ GJ, who's always good in front of a mic. Here was CJ GJ night before the Super Bowl.
It's emotional for me to be here.
I get the dramatic music.
Everyone but Jalen did.
Yeah.
Hey, legacy, though. Simple. About y'all been through a lot of shit, bro. We ain't gotta say shit and win it.
Church,
because our story is gonna tell itself, bro. I get emotional because I know we all winners, bro. Why not have a chance to express that on the biggest stage of them all?
It was kind of church music, except the pastor was cursing over and over.
The organ.
Yeah, that organ music is like a lot.
So who was your favorite one, Jalen?
Jalen, by far. I mean, I got
you the petty for you.
Well,
yeah.
It's. Do you know how long, like, how long that petty has been festering?
7 years, 8 years,
at least.
Yeah,
that's what makes it so great. Is because you know how when somebody says they forgive and forget. No, they forgive. They'd be damned if I forget, though. That's what drove him.
Yeah.
Like, that's the type of stuff that drives people. You know, like, kind of like when, you know, your friends say you got T-Rex arms and you try to, you know, you don't never forget them comments like that. When somebody say you built like a T-Rex.
Someone called you old.
Or yeah, the old comments. You know, you don't really trip on them, but you remember them.
And they stick.
And
they
then
stick.
When you get your moment, when your moment comes, you remind them, you know.
So for the record, you weren't hurt when Kyle called you old?
Not at all.
I'd roll right off his back.
Yeah. You're But listen, y'all don't understand. You're talking about $250 million later. You are the second time you're at the Super Bowl. You bring up the fact that you were benched in a college game. That's a level. That's Super Saiyan petty.
So did we learn today that money doesn't fix petty?
No, it doesn't. It just makes it more. It makes you more petty.
Yeah, because you would think, like, at this point, Jalen is better than Tua. He's made a lot of money.
No, but
he's in
the
Super Bowl again.
Sometimes when you know... When you're petty, you got to let people know you petty. You got to just let it. Like, every now and then I will take the high road, but every now and then I remind myself.
That's why
petty.
Hugh took the job on this show. You got 4 hours a day to be petty.
4 hours. Best job on the planet, baby.
Lanes was pretty petty, too.
It was.
I did like hearing that stuck with them, the T-shirts. Like, they remembered that. And, like, for Lane, an offensive lineman, to remind the defensive lineman how they felt seeing that.
So I remember we had the discussion after the title games. Is it better that it's the Chiefs? Did you want the Chiefs? They did. You could feel it.
Now, we know for a fact it is.
Yeah, like, I'm sure they would have been confident and all that if they played the Bills. They would have beat them, too, because they were the best team. But there was something extra just to stick it to the Chiefs and not let them have a three-peat. 215-592-9494. Let's grab Terrence in Springfield. Hey, Terrence.
Dude, yo, Kyle, what's up, man?
Terrence. What's up, buddy?
Hey, man, I like all them things, man. It was great watching them videos over the last couple of days, man. And the thing that stuck out to me most, man, was how all of them, like you heard that they were ready to dominate on all their voices. And my thing is, it was a sack party, man. They had a sack party, and I saw Sirianni counting them. But my thing is, Joe, like you said, you heard the dominance in the Eagles' voice, but they cut to the Chiefs' sideline, and all you hear, I think it was Justin Reeves, and the Patriots did it. Didn't they come back? I'm like, bro, you're not the Patriots. You ain't the Patriots. The Patriots did it. I'm like, when I saw that, I said, that's a sign of desperation. Him asking his coach, and his coach like, yeah, the Patriots did it. Who cares what the Patriots did? You're getting stumped out 24-0, and then you talk about what the Patriots did. It's about what you're going to do. Y'all got your asses handed to y'all.
They were grasping for straws, Terrence.
As the second half
of that mic'd up went on, you could tell they were so defeated. Mahomes started, like, sighing on the sidelines. They were done.
Yeah,
man, that was a beat down, man. And I want to touch on the Phillies real quick before I talk about Kellen. For the Phillies, I feel like, listen, you cannot fix hitting. I don't care where you move, swerve, or the lineup. It all comes down to what you're going to do in the playoffs, what you're going to do in the biggest moments. You got to hit the damn ball. You got to change your approach to the plate. You can flip-flop. You can switch around. And my thing is, what was this adjusting from Topper back in these playoff series? Why were you switching these lineups back then when you were blowing series? When was that happening? So my thing is, you gotta like you said, Joe. It's hard to change a hitters when they this old in their career to change their approach. But you gotta try to do something. I know they're trying to shake it up. They're trying to shake the lineup up. But come on, man. Like, if you guys want to win, you gotta at the end of the day, you gotta hit the ball.
Well, yeah, Terrence, and this is the reality, but the lineup construction is way less important than what they do. I mean, you could bat Trey Turner 1-3-7. He's got to be better at the plate. Like, that's their thing. And is there an optimal way to do it? Yeah, we're going to find out if they find that. But they got to be better when the games start. Andy's in Deptford. Hey, Andy.
Fellas.
Andy, hey, what's up, buddy?
We live. We hot. What's good, man? How you guys doing?
How you doing?
We're good. We're great, Andy. We're talking about a team coming off a Super Bowl. Andy, what's on your mind? What are you feeling?
I'll tell you what. This is a great time, a phenomenal time to be an Eagles fan. I mean, you're looking at the greatest run probably ever in Eagles history. We got a quarterback, 49-27 as a starter, two Super Bowls. He won one, one MVP. Forget about the greatest Eagle quarterback all time, which he is. This guy's on a Hall of Fame trajectory career. You got Howie Roseman, been to three Super Bowls, won one, right?
Won two.
That guy's a Hall of Fame GM.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
What GM goes to a Super Bowl and then rebuilds a whole new team and goes to another Super Bowl and wins it?
Well, how about this, Andy? He won two Super Bowls, and each of them a different quarterback and a different coach. I mean, that does not happen very often.
And different linemen,
yep,
too. I mean, the whole O-line was pretty much different.
Yeah, except Lane. Yep, all different.
Except Lane. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I mean, everybody sweats Kelce. I mean, look at Cam Jurgens. Comes in there, doesn't miss a beat. Kelce who? Right? We got the owner, Hall of Fame owner. I mean, And you know what? All the midget fans, all those stinking Giants, Cowboys
nice
fans in the Northeast, midget, like, this team ain't going nowhere no time soon. No time soon. So it's great to see a guy like Jalen had to deal with so much adversity, so much haters even on this airwaves, the morning show, the 2-5 show besides Ike. Them guys love hating on this quarterback. And you know what? All he does is, like you're saying, Hugh, he puts that in that motivational tank, right? And he just comes out firing. Everybody says, what's he elite at? This, that, and the third. He's an elite winner. And, you know, he gets the job done. Hall of Fame trajectory quarterback, top five quarterback. I mean, Saquon Barkley, not only a phenomenal running back, but what a great guy.
I mean, I know, like, and a leader. And a leader. Andy, good phone call. So I didn't. That's the one part of that I didn't realize they were getting. You heard it all week last week in the mic'd up stuff. They said he healed them. I mean, like they said, his leadership changed his franchise. 215-592-9494. All right, coming up, your phone calls here. Is losing Kellen Moore a big deal? I say yes. Hugh doesn't. Phillies, your first take on the idea of them changing the lineup. It certainly seems like we're headed that way. Turner 1, Harper 2, Boehm 3, Schwarber 4. What do you guys think? And we'll take a trip down there. Well, Devin Caney literally has. We'll talk to Devin, who is in Clearwater next, about the Phillies, what she's seeing as spring training has arrived. All coming up on the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.